watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello, and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of Woe!
So there I was, goon-maxing alone in my bedroom.
Okay, yeah, you know, that's fine. I'll take that.
Goon-maxing.
Goon-maxing. Well, we are not goon-maxing here. We are... Green maxing, Delta green maxing,
Delta maxing,
Delta maxing,
DG maxing.
For everyone at home, I know it doesn't work for me. But I'm going to tell you right now. Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Yeah. Don't look. Hey, listen. I know you're going to think.
Let your eyes and mind stay pure.
Just don't look it up. It's It's not like super gross, right? It's not like. It's not like one of those like shock things, right?
It's no,
not
gonna it's just terrify you.
It's just better to not know. It's psychically damaging knowledge.
Have some mystery in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just whatever you think gooning is, goon maxing specifically.
You just think about goon maxing.
And
just,
if you want some mystery in your life, you should continue to listen to Chaos Springs Eternal because we've got lots of mysteries going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And none of them involve gooning.
For example, what are we going to do this session?
That's a good question.
Right.
I think.
The uninterrupted silence.
I was adjusting the name of the episode. Otherwise, I wouldn't remember to do it afterwards. And then I misspelled it, episto. so I'm really mad at myself, but I don't want to mute myself and then type it again. And have you guys make fun of me for the silence? So we're just jumping into, we're back at the diner, baby. It is Saturday. Do you guys want to do morning or afternoon? Breakfast or lunch for the diner?
Breakfast.
Okay. You are at breakfast at the diner.
Joel shows up 10 minutes late.
Well, you realize that we can make it time whenever you want, so you don't have to be late. Are you just specifically wanting
to
That's
just how Joel
late?
Is. He's 10 minutes late.
He waits in the parking lot.
I personally can relate to that.
So you show up to Eddie's diner at, did we say morning or afternoon?
Morning.
I got distracted by Tyler's thing. You show up Saturday morning after a few days away from each other. Each fielding, we didn't narrate this, but you're fielding, you know, calls and texts from friends and family and complete strangers. I think... For the most part, you manage to keep a low profile, but you do notice that there's a lot more floating around. So, and after doing your interview on Wednesday and then your various activities from investigations for Cyril and for Marcy and Joel, a little bit more delving into magic, you all have also increased your unnatural scores just a little bit. The first time in this campaign that you have naturally come by the unnatural instead of artificially inflating your unnatural with various implements, but we are at Eddie's Diner on Saturday morning at 9:30, and at 9:40, Joel walks in, and y'all are all together. And to avoid doing too much like reiteration, going back over, I just sort of wanted you to each cover like big things in your downtime that the other people haven't heard, or maybe that you think are big things, just so that we can, get the audience back on the same page and then also get us back on the same page.
Yep.
All right. Mark, what has Cyril learned during his downtime that you were sharing with the other Phantom Finders?
Cyril learned that Antoine had on his hand a stamp for a club in New Orleans. I can't remember the name of it. What was it again, Dan?
The Riverbend Blues Lounge.
Riverbend Blues Lounge. And it was like one of those UV stamps. And then he will also share with them that his body was placed in kind of a nexus, if you will, of trees and symbols. That his body was right in the middle of that thing. So it seems to me that it was laid out there as a thing to maybe derive some sort of power from.
All right, Tyler, what do you want to share from Joel?
I have a quick question, actually, about the Riverbend Blues, if I may. Or do you want me to do this first?
Let's do this first, and then we can delve into investigation stuff.
Understood. Joel will share that he is a fucking wizard now, as best as he can. And say, well, yeah, no, I got this book and I'm working my way towards being able to, you know, use magic, and I was able to accidentally scry on Ivy. And also, very specifically, he would apologize to Cyril in the way only Joel can, where he doesn't actually say I'm sorry, but he will admit that he and Marcy were trying to keep something from him with the whole shadow of the pastor. And he will tell them that he saw that shadow when he was doing his interview with Nina.
Wow.
All right. And Noah, does Marcy want to share anything that she learned? This will probably be the biggest drop since, although Tyler didn't listen to the other downtimes by Mark. No one has had a chance to listen to these downtimes yet.
So I think I may have either met or been met by a weird fungal insect creature that asks me one very pointed question about my location. And that's kind of the number one thing on my mind. Also, I'm also joining the wizard witch cult that Joel is in now. So I guess you got more out of it than I have. I went to like a book club meeting or some shit, and she didn't teach me anything. She just gave me snacks.
She gave you a book as well.
Oh, yeah, and a book, but like I didn't get to do anything cool.
She had me meditate, and I just stumbled upon it.
We had like finger food. It was okay.
I would say one other thing, Marcy, is that you did talk to the mayor, and he is thrilled with how things have gone. You might want to share that, but I won't.
She would.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Also, Joel brags that him and Ivy are talking again.
So, as Eddie of Big Eddie's Diner, or just Eddie's Diner, I don't remember if it's not Big Eddie's, it's
small just Eddie's Diner.
Just tiny medium Eddie's Diner. He brings by your
adequately sized Eddie's Diner,
micro Eddie's Diner,
average Eddie's Diner.
He brings back your coffee tea eggs, your CTE eggs, and you know, whole round for the table. So now is the point at which y'all can discuss and plan and act and do. And you were on the rails. I'll admit a little bit on the rails for this downtime, and now you are off the rails. I think Tyler had, and I guess Joel would have had some question about the Riverbend Blues Lounge. What did you?
Yeah, so it was more just does having done like, you know, concerts for the band when he was part of it. Does he know that? Did he perform there? Does he even know it existed? Does he know anything about a club?
Well, I was told that I knew about the club, that I had heard of that club before.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's right. Okay.
When I say that, it's not like it's not some secret underground club. So you
that
would
sounded
definitely
a little
be,
disingenuous. It wasn't. Sorry.
You wouldn't be like, I don't think, first off, it's a jazz and blues club, so Paradise Rebels would have never played there, right?
That's kind of more my question.
Yeah. No. So I don't think you have ever performed there. It's possible that you've been there. I'm not going to rule that out. But I don't know how big a fan Joel is of, you know, jazz and blues.
He's not going to go out of his way to go see it.
Yeah. So I would say that that is a unlikely. And I don't know. Marcy, how big a fan is Marcy of rhythm and blues? Please show me what you wrote about her love of jazz and R&B and soul music in her background before tonight.
It was a requirement.
You know, yeah, she's actually kind of into blues. Okay, yeah. I rolled a D100 and got a 61, so it's like, yeah, she kind of likes it.
Okay, this is Delta Green, though, so 61 would actually be like, she's not that into it.
Okay, I'm using my own scaling method.
We're playing a game, and a 61 means that you won't.
Just to really shit on even more, I'm going to roll a 1D4. Yeah, she likes it, yeah.
I'm kicking Noah off the pot.
Hey, I wasn't the first one. Let's go.
All right. All right. How much does Cyril like? You've definitely heard about it, but have you been there before?
No, you would not go to a blues jazz club.
Yeah,
would not be his choice.
Know it by maybe reputation. Actually, everyone can roll.
Maybe that's where Harry Connick Jr. is all the time.
God damn it.
You did give us a score we can roll when we want to learn about something we've heard of before.
Yeah, yeah.
Or for like to represent like how well we know wise, someone. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Give me that streetwise roll.
Okay.
That's a big old fail for me.
Everyone failed.
Okay. Yeah, I got a 90% over 20.
Yeah, I think, again, it's like you know the name, but you've never been there, and you don't even know, like, what sort of reputation it has beyond being. I mean, it's Riverbend Blues Lounge, so that kind of, that, I mean, if the name is accurate, you kind of get a vibe, right? But it's also not, like, a secret place. So, that would be, six minutes later, does that answer your question?
We thoroughly fucked that topic.
Yes.
There's nothing else we can do about it.
Yeah, no, that was literally the only question I had was like, would I know anything about it?
Oh, would you know anything about it? No. It would be really funny if I just edited out all the stuff that we had.
You should.
100% should.
No, keep it in.
It was all fucking nonsense.
Sometimes when I'm listening back during the edits, I'm like, is this good?
Is this getting good?
I think that's the answer. Is no. Listening no. to him,
the answer is usually no. So
usually no. No, it's not.
But I'm like, I can't put the whole episode behind the end music. So
you should do that.
That
once.
Song's it's only like, so many minutes.
It's just
long.
Like 6 minutes of us talking, and then it's a whole like 40-minute ep after the credits.
God. Hey, thank you for watching the show. And yeah, nothing happened this episode. Cue the
we moved puppet. The plot nowhere.
All right.
Okay, anyways.
Any other questions, discussions you want to have on these new bits of information?
Mossy, can you explain what a fungoid insect thing is?
So when I went to that interview, she mentioned before I went on how y'all's went a little weird. I didn't hear what happened per se, but I saw Joel run off and then you kind of walk out at a leisurely pace.
Mine went great. I thought I did well.
I haven't seen what happened during y'all's interview, but if it was anything like mine, when she was starting asking me this one question, it's like I went elsewhere and it was just in a forest or something. And there was a weird, fucked up praying mantis with a bunch of fungal growth on its face asking me, why am I here? But it was like pointed like, why are you here? To something to that degree. And it's like I keep hearing it, and it's a little, more than a little disconcerting, because I'm starting to wonder if maybe that's a repressed memory that I've just pushed down as hard as I can, and now it's unfortunate with all this stuff that's happened to me lately, it's kind of bubbling back to the surface, and I'm really scared that I'm just gonna see that thing again when we're out here, because now that the bubbles burst, if it's coming back.
Hey Marcy, what have we talked about anxiety?
Joel, I'm going to put laxatives in your breakfast. When that's you fine. Leave to go to the bathroom, I'm going to put laxatives in it.
No, that's totally fair. Okay. I'm just trying to lighten the mood, bring you down, mellow a little bit.
I think the CTE eggs are enough of a laxative.
That is true. Why do we always come here? This place always gives me like horrible.
Shit too. I don't know why we do this.
Why do we?
I feel fine. And he lets the biggest fart rip.
You animal.
To get back to the interview, I don't think that Pastor Guidry is the one that caused that dark shadow anymore, or whatever was around him. I think it might be something a little more related to me, Marcy.
You know, can I just say something about Pastor Guidry real quick?
Yeah.
You guys didn't need to keep that from me. I don't particularly like Pastor Guidry or his wife.
No, it's not necessarily that you are in close with him, and more just of the three of us, you go to that church frequently. And it was just the way it was delivered. I was nervous that it was a weird
one
cult
of
thing.
Us. One, yeah. of
one of
us,
us situation.
I hear you. But I don't, and, I mean, I go to that church, but let me just put it this way. I don't go to that church.
Joel thinks about it for a second. Okay, I think I follow.
Okay, I'm just saying that there's things there that I enjoy. But I don't go to that church for that church, if you know what I mean.
Marcy looks at Sierra and raises her eyebrows.
I'm talking about sex, Marcy. There's wonderful Christian ladies there that
that's what the pointed eyebrow raise was for. Cyril, I know.
Yeah. So, I don't go to that church because I'm super into Jesus and stuff, and Pastor Guidry's I could give a shit about him. So, and his wife's baked goods are pretty good, but...
Joel, with you learning to be a wizard, congratulations, by the way. Fucking...
Thanks.
We can compare notes and... copy each other's spell books or whatever the fuck.
What a complete D&D nerd you are.
Let's circle back to that. Why is it, do you think something happened to you, or is it just like just slowly losing your mind here? You good?
I don't know. I'm working on it. And he kind of looks around the diner, make sure no one's listening in on them.
Just 40 people surrounding us.
As best
you
can.
Guys do notice that the diner is busier than usual, and everyone make
and
awareness
we are,
rolls.
We are pretty
everyone make awareness rolls.
I hate that I've said this.
I should have done this earlier, but that was a good
stop talking
time.
In public.
Time.
Yeah.
Ooh, I fumbled. That's an 88 over 54.
I got 12 under 44.
Thank you, Joel.
So as Marcy and Cyril are kind of talking, you guys get a little bit distracted. Marcy is actually, maybe with her fumble, she's causing Cyril to get more distracted. But Joel, you definitely notice, like, and again, this maybe reflects on your sort of little narcissism, light narcissism. You notice that, like, people are shooting you looks, like people you don't know, right? That you've never seen before. People who might be from out of town, and they like look at you, and then they whisper to the person next to you. And it's very in groups of people. There's a family of four, you know, husband, wife, two kids. The dad, you know, like sees you and then begins like excitedly chatting with the wife. And there's one guy with like a greaseback, you know, ponytail and khaki shorts or a black t-shirt and like New Balance sneakers and high white socks. And even as you guys are talking, they bring by another round of coffee tea eggs, and you guys are like, oh well, we didn't order this, and the guy's like, oh actually this is from table 12, just sent you a whole order. So you guys realize like, oh, people are recognizing us.
Interesting.
But it doesn't look like anyone is trying to eavesdrop. I'll say that.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's a mixture of narcissism and just Joel's beginning of distrust.
Yes.
And he'll say, I don't know. I'm becoming more and more wary about the interactions I have with people in the town. Don't get me wrong. This is awesome. And he kind of like smiles and like waves at one of the kids at the table. That's, you know, giddily like being all happy with his family, excited to see the ghost people. And, it's just weird timing. It's just poor timing. I don't have anything. All I can say is I've only seen it twice with Gidry and then with Nina and then talking with Luna the other day. I basically got the reverse. And
you've seen it three times.
Three times. What was the third one?
The third was in Ivy's eyes when you were screaming.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't even thinking about that. That's fair. I've seen it three times. I've seen it in Ivy too. But Luna, there was just light. It wasn't dark. I don't know. She said that I seem to be pretty naturally talented. Maybe I'm doing this shit without realizing it. I don't know. I really don't know.
Natural wizard.
I think Marcy would call that a sorcerer. He glares at her.
All right, enough references to things that could get us sued.
We're playing that game in the other pot.
I think sorcerer is pretty...
Yeah, but we're playing that under the orc license and not the OGL.
Shut
so.
The fuck up.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I'm using the elf license for my games.
Get it. Get it. Didn't I kick you off the pod? Why are you still here?
Yeah, why are you still here, Noah? Get the fuck out of here.
Anybody hear that noise?
Was that Noah?
Anyway.
I don't know what we can do about fungal persons. And I'm glad you guys are going and getting y'all unnatural and starting to cast spells, but I don't know. Do you guys have any sort of leads you want to take? Because I think we could go check this club out in New Orleans.
I think the club is our best bet.
If we're trying to solve a murder right now, I mean, that's probably the best thing we could do.
Yeah, that's significantly more pressing than Joel and I reading and learning spells, and she wiggles her fingers at each other. And we can read it.
Joel does not
reciprocate. Oh, okay, fuck you too.
So, I mean, that's something I think we should pursue here. I also have something for you, Mossy. And he hands her like that hand-drawn like Nexus rune thing that I drew.
Oh, this is... Did you draw this yourself? It's so good.
Thank you.
I'll put it on my fridge.
Yeah, no, this is for you. Hang it up in your house. Okay. No, I need you to research that symbol.
Oh, okay. It's actually... Okay, cool.
It's actual work. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Can you Google this symbol?
Can you Google up this symbol?
Okay, Grandpa.
I mean, you're better at that kind of stuff than I am. I don't know where to start. So I just thought I'd bring that to you so we can get kind of a heads up on that. Because that's where his body was. It was right in the middle where the two V's intersect.
That's...
They don't intersect right in the middle.
No, I mean where they overlap.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's strange. Okay, yeah.
I've done my part of moving the plot forward.
Yeah, no.
All right, well, do you guys want to go there? Do you want to go to the Riverbend Blues Lounge today?
I think that's the plan. We don't really have any other major leads to go off of immediately.
Smash cut two. You guys in someone's car. Whose car are we in?
It has to be the Nissan.
Offers to drive.
Yeah.
All right, smash cut to Joel's car driving on I-10. From Carrefour to New Orleans, and having gotten a address, I don't know why that took me so long to think of. You've got an address, you've plugged it into your GPS or, you know, whatever method by which you are.
MapQuest.
Yep. TomTom. TomTom. You begin navigating your way there as you drive. This is a 2 or 3 hour drive, probably, if I'm guessing. And as you pull into New Orleans, we have officially moved out of Care 4. I mean, we've gone to WCLA, which is a little bit out of the way, but and we've gone to, you know, Florizon, which is also kind of a little bit out of the way. But those are still sort of the greater Care 4 area. But now you are out of Care 4.
I would like to say that we bring a picture of Antoine with us.
Okay.
So that we're a little more prepared to, you know, say, have you seen this person kind of thing.
Have you seen this man?
Yeah.
All right. And as you drive around the streets of New Orleans, you're in the, you know, it's Saturday afternoon. It's not too busy, but you make your way down to the Riverbend Blues Lounge, park, and get out, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to, like, scope the area? Do you want to head straight in? What's your...
I think
Joel, we just head straight in, yeah.
Yeah, Joel parks as far away from every other car as he can.
All right, so well...
maybe doesn't get scratched.
As you push into the door, into the Riverbend Blues Lounge, it is completely empty because it's Saturday afternoon, and you realize, like, oh, this probably isn't even open. The hours say, like, probably 6 p.m. open, start serving dinner, that sort of thing. But as you push in, you know, I mean, the door's not locked. You see no one inside. But in general, it's kind of a big, it's a surprisingly big area inside. On the sides of the room, there are sort of these deep-set booths, but they have, like, raised sides, so they're a little harder to see into. Like, they would cover, if you went and sat down in them, they'd cover kind of up to, you know, your elbows. So it would be hard to even tell what someone had on the table if you were just sort of looking around. And this is going around sort of the left and right sides. In the back wall, there's more of like a stage where you imagine, you know, acts would put on music. There's a handful of like tables in the middle, but there's plenty of area in between for people to dance. You would presume, including a large wooden dance floor type of thing. I mean, all the floors are wooden, and everything looks, you know, fairly antique but well kept up. And then along the back wall, sort of as you enter to your right, there's, you know, a handful of sort of more open booths. Maybe a little more visibility in terms of those. But I mean, it's noticeable to the sides that those are sort of less visible, and you see there are doors on either side of the stage that look to lead into like maybe a kitchen type area. As you're standing there after a few minutes, woman pokes her head out. She's a shorter, sort of shortcut blonde hair. She looks like a young Kristen Chenoweth. And she wanders out. She says, hey, sorry, we're actually not open yet. You'll have to come back at 6 and then we can start seating people.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even see the time. We just have a quick question, actually. We're not here for any music or anything. We're investigating, trying to find a missing person.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
His name's Babineau, Antoine Babineau. Cyril, my buddy, he has a photo. We just know that he frequents here, so we just wanted to see if you might have overheard or seen him leave with anyone.
Cyril will show the photo to her.
She looks at it and she says, I don't know, we get in a lot of people. He doesn't look too familiar. Anyone who wants to can make a human.
Always. Squints, narrows his eyes.
Success for me.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, Barcy with a 56 over 12 and Joel with a 98 over 52, both failed. But, Cyril with a 24 under 64. You notice, like, just a little, like, a flash of recognition in her eyes, but, it's subtle. You're not like, it's not like she has a moment where she's like, oh, crap, they found me out. It's just sort of like a, yeah, I probably do know that guy. But,
okay. Then he will press a little bit. He'd be like, I don't know. It seems like he came here an awful lot. I think that he would frequent. I mean, he's from our hometown, but he would come over here ever so often because he worked in logistics. And he's the son of he's a brother of the mayor in our hometown. Are you sure you haven't seen this man before?
There's not like an intimidate in
There's not. No. There's persuade.
Yeah, do you want to give a persuade, but you are going to take a little bit of a ding to this. So let's give it a minus 20 for mechanical and story reasons.
Okay. And I rolled 100.
Holy shit.
As you bring this up to her with your 100, which would have been a fumble,
fuck
no
me.
Matter what. she looks at you and she says, listen, you guys clearly aren't hip to it, but this is not the place to be pushing and asking questions, especially if you're not actually cops. So, I don't know the guy, just, can't help you. Sorry. And she kind of waves dismissively.
Cyril shoots her.
Okay, roll firearm.
Fuck.
There's no one else here, just this bartender?
She looks more like a receptionist. She's not like working.
Oh, she's like a hostess or whatever?
She's a hostess, yeah. There's like a podium that she's come up to that you all were all standing around. Listen. I know, okay, I'm taking my players aside here for a moment, audience.
Okay.
Hey, guys, I know this seems like you guys have run into like
a wall,
yeah. But this is where I'm inviting you to
be creative.
Find a creative solution to finding more information.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to think of what I could do.
Okay. We can take some time, also encourage you to, you know, this is Delta Green. Be crazy.
Right. I perform psychic surgery on her.
Okay, go ahead and roll your natural
weaseling.
The only thing I could think of was either coming back later when there's more people here, or asking around, or like finding a way to sneak into the back.
Okay.
Those are both fantastic options that I am telling you are things that I would anticipate you doing.
So I was going to say we should come back later when they're open and we can prod maybe some of the regulars.
Yeah.
Could Marcy have brought her laptop with her?
Absolutely.
Okay. Does this place have like an open Wi-Fi connection?
Yes. Yeah.
Not even necessarily open, but just like, does it have a Wi-Fi?
It definitely does.
Okay. She would pin test the shit out of it until she can find a way to get in.
All right. Give me your computer's roll.
Hell okay. Yeah, Marcy.
I assume y'all have gone back out to the car and you're not doing this right in front of her.
He's like a little satellite dish and like a...
You need to leave.
All right.
Fuck you. Guess whose social security number is getting leaked?
What was your name?
So with Marcy's 31 under 65, after a short, you know, maybe, let's say 15, 30 minutes in the car as she's, you know, running some of her tests, she's spoofing some MAC addresses, as she's you know, using Bluetooth scanners to pick up on people's cell phones, all sorts of various, you know, advanced cryptographical things. You learn that the Wi-Fi password is password, and upon doing that, you join the local area network and begin to delve into some of the computers and stuff that are on the network. And since they don't have I only know a little bit about computer security, so
I don't either.
They're unsecure. You get in, you begin poking around. What are you looking for?
Primarily to see like how far back their like storage goes, or if they outsource their security to another company.
So you wouldn't find that much about security specifically. They're not like storing, you know.
They record their shit on fucking tape decks.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they're backing up any videos. You don't find any like surveillance. It's a lot of financials. It's a lot of personnel files. It's a lot of that sort of thing.
She is logging personnel. That's as far as she can do right now. She's just logging personnel and seeing if that's something we might need later.
Okay, give me 1 minute.
Okay. Generate 15 random people, and I want all their social security cards because that is information
that
I want.
That is what I am doing, yeah.
What's more intimidating? Someone dropping your social security card in a common conversation and just being like, how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Huh? Who are you?
Who are you?
Welcome.
I know your credit card information. Bub.
Okay. You find a bunch of personnels. I don't know. Do you want some names? You got the.
No. I don't. I don't need.
You got Sophie Martin
until we interact with the random.
Okay.
Does Antoine show up anywhere in the financial records?
Yeah.
Like, is he a backer of the club, or like, did he run up a big bar tab you skipped out on, kind of thing?
No, as you study, you don't find like any entries for Antoine. No, but you don't find any names in the financials generally. These aren't like credit card receipts or anything. This is like pay stubs and you know, filings with the government, or you know, licenses, liquor license, and paying the various jazz acts who are performing.
A-Man and the Babinos.
Nope, no Babinos.
Perfect.
All right. Well, how can we leverage this information to get more? I mean, is there any sneaky dealings that's going on here? Are they not paying the taxes? Like,
if you wanted to get into sneaky dealings, you would have to do a little searching of the financials.
Hmm.
You couldn't just tell that from having the financials, right?
Right.
Like, yeah.
You need a little, maybe accounting role, if you got accounting.
Well, I do have an accounting role. I've got an accounting of 50.
I think all of you have accounting at base 10.
Yeah, but Damn it!
Oh, boy.
I can't lock that. You both. I literally just... That is incredible. We both got a 61.
Oh, let's fucking go!
Gosh. You fucking animal!
Joel, who doesn't even know how to do his own taxes, looks at this.
Hey, this looks like my taxes.
Hey, this looks like my taxes. Unpaid.
So, Joel, as you all three are sort of looking through some of this paperwork, Joel, it suddenly strikes you. Actually, Joel, you know, it's kind of funny. It suddenly strikes you that some of these amounts are coming in very regularly. They are the same every single month. And it's a line item for what looks like maintenance supplies. And it's every month they're spending about, let's say, $27,000 on maintenance supplies.
Jesus.
Now, as a total of what the club is doing, that's relatively small. I mean, this club, you know, for a Friday night with alcohol sales and tickets and dinners, you know, clearing six figures, pretty easy for them. They're relatively high dollar, you know. And I think that was a vibe that you definitely got, that this is where people go, you know, and they pay a little premium to be here. But $27,000 for maintenance supplies is a lot. Something that you get regularly, something that's delivered regularly, that costs a lot, that's being vaguely filed. And I think Joel, given the fact that he works at a place that has a little bit of sketchy dealings, IDs this as a sketchy dealing.
I think Joel looks at it and then like kind of like half jumps out of his seat and like slaps the center console, and he's like, it's just like the car wash in the show. And he's so excited. Like, is he just made that connection. He's like, it's money laundering. They're laundering money here, or they're doing something here.
But they're money laundering
something. They're clearly, let's be real, nothing's breaking $27,000 every month. Like, that's not possible.
Holy shit, how did my eyes glaze over this? What the fuck?
I mean, could it be something else, though? I mean, money laundering's usually spread that shit out.
It's too consistent. That's the issue.
Yeah.
I don't... If this truly were maintenance supplies, like, our machines at work break down semi-frequently, or we have to buy new stuff. Like, it's never the same amount every month, every 30 days, nearly, on the dot.
True. I mean, it could be drugs.
It could be a lot of things.
I mean, they could be buying 27 grand of drugs every month, or... You know, something like that.
Hey, We have a detective's phone number.
Oh, shit.
That we do. Let's give old Verge a call.
Yeah, who's the owner of this establishment?
Yeah, as you search through some of the personnel files, it looks to be owned by an LLC.
So there's no like a mob boss supreme name or anything like that.
It looks like it's owned by Leathertop LLC.
Leathertop.
Yep, all one word. Leathertop.
Okay. Tell you what. Why don't we just give Detective Mara a call? If they've done anything in the past, he'll be able to get access to it at the very least.
Mm-hmm. That stuff for him maybe may take time because he's got to go through
stuff.
But we can at least get that's at least leg up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The issue is the lady inside was very confident in that.
But she knew
we're not getting much more out of this.
She
place.
Knew Antoine. I could see it in her eyes. She knew who he was. She may not know exactly who he is, but she recognizes him. I gleaned that much before I shit the bed. So, I don't know. It might be worth talking to other people there. I'm still of a mind to go back in there and see if I can work my way around to other people in the back.
No, maybe. Totally. I'm in complete agreement with you. I just don't think we're going to be getting much more out of... any employees, or at least any employees that are of any importance, if this theory is correct, that they are doing illicit shit in this establishment.
Do we know when when this line item is paid every month?
Looks like the 13th of the month.
Okay.
Good date.
But it varies. I mean, every once in a while it'll be the 15th the 12th, but...
Good old banks.
Yeah, interesting.
Leathertop.
Joel will just send a message to Detective Marr, just over a text. Hey, investigating Antoine, Leathertop LLC, ? What's the name of the establishment again? The jazz bar? It's the Blues and...
Riverbend Blues Bar?
Riverbend Blues Bar, thank you. Riverbend Blues Bar, illegal... They're like something illegal is going on. They're getting like basically just sitting like sending a picture of the documents.
He texts back. How did you get those? ?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Don't worry about it.
He says you recognize. He calls you.
He's like, can't do this over text.
He's like, I this can't do this over text.
As soon as he answers, he's like, talk to me.
Okay. You know that, like, I can't... Now that I... Presumably, you guys did not come by that, honestly.
They
I can't
just handed
that,
it right to
right?
us. It was weird.
Yeah, great. Okay, what did you want to know?
Listen, Cyril found the stamp for this club, like a UV stamp for this club, on Antoine's body.
Oh. Wait, you guys looked at Antoine's body?
I did, yeah.
Okay, all right, well, okay. Okay.
Not as closely as you.
Okay, yeah, but I looked at Glomus's recreation of the body. That's a totally different thing. And when he says Glomus, he gets real quiet.
Anyways, so we're here, and it definitely seems like there's something going on behind closed doors here.
Okay, what do you think is going on?
Money laundering, drugs, guns, something. There's a couple. You know, like $20,000 to $30,000 that show up once a month, every month, under the line item of repairs and supplies.
Okay. I mean, $30,000 a month is, I mean, it's not little, but it's not like massive in the scheme of, you know, criminal stuff.
No, it's not massive, but it's enough that that's weird, obviously, right?
Yeah, okay,
listen,
yeah,
have you
yeah.
ever.
No, no. Hey, listen, I'm a detective. I'm aware that it's weird, but I think it's weirder that there's not. More, it's possible that it's the public facing set of books. Maybe they've got, you know, some more cooked books that's a little more.
Or this is just a front for Leathertop LLC. There's probably more smaller businesses that they're funneling their money through there.
Yeah, could be a number of things. Anyways, what did you guys want me to do?
Just if you can find out anything about either this location or Leathertop specifically that has any criminal intent, we might be able to work that in a way that we can figure out what Antoine was doing when he died.
Okay. No, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Good. Hey, guys, good detective work.
Thanks.
No problem. See,
look, I feel like if I had had access to the actual body, maybe I could have found that out. But, you know.
Nah. You didn't have seen
it. I'm pretty sure I would have.
Nah. Oh, it took a keen eye in order to see that.
You just used the UV light, though, right? I have those on me.
No, I did not. I used the third special light.
Pretty sure most nightclubs in New Orleans are moving UV. Okay, invisible. All right. That's fine.
No UV light.
Fine, guys. It's fine. Hey, it's fine. Anyways, yeah, I'll look up that information for you. And I need everyone to make alertness rolls real quick.
86 under over 54.
43 under 68. Success.
Okay.
Nice.
And 80 under or 80 over 44.
Okay. I'm going to say high is Joel, low is Marcy. Okay, Marcy? No, I'm sorry that it keeps coming up you. But yeah. Let's see how this goes. Okay, well, Marcy, as you are sitting there, you all hear a gunshot and the shit sound of breaking glass, and it is in your car. And Marcy, you feel a bullet graze by you, nearly striking you, but missing with a...
Drive!
Yeah, he immediately floors it, and he's just like, "Aye!"
Where did the shot come from?
The shot came from behind you, down the street, apparently.
Yeah, Marcy fully ducks under, closes her laptop, and is just hiding underneath.
Anyone who wants to can make a... I think Cyril's the only one who passed his alertness.
I did.
Which is why he was not shot at. But with the pass on alertness, you turn back and you see a man duck into an alley, maybe 40, 50 feet away.
Hmm.
Just using your, again, military general knowledge, you don't think he was actually trying to hurt anyone. Maybe just try and scare you a little.
Stop the car.
What? No.
Stop the car.
He looks at him.
This is just scare tactics. They ain't trying to kill us.
You know how much fucking money windshields on this piece of shit
cost? You work at a mechanic shop. I'm sure you got the hookup somewhere.
God, it's such a pain. They don't make these anymore, Cyril.
I'm sorry. Hey, safe light repair, safe light replace. And then he gets if they stop the car, are you going to stop the car or no?
Yeah, he stopped the car.
Okay, so he's going to get out and he's going to walk casually down the street.
Okay.
Towards that alleyway. He does have a piece on him, by the way. He is not unarmed.
Okay.
What the fuck?
It's fine. And he starts walking to that alleyway, and then he kind of... I'm going to stealthily look around the corner of the alleyway. Can I do that?
Yeah, go ahead and roll some sort of stealth, if that exists.
And I fail.
Okay.
After a second or two, Joel will follow him. He's not going to let Cyril go do this on his own.
You stick your whole head into the alley. And you see one of the doors just sort of swinging in there.
In one of the alleyways? Like a kitchen door or...
Yeah, like a back kitchen door. Actually, it's kind of weird. It's attached to the Riverbend Blues Lounge.
Ah, okay. He will walk around the corner and walk up to that door. Is there like a peephole or like a thing you can look through, or is it just a solid door?
It does have a window in it. It's one of those rectangular windows. It's long and skinny on the top so you can peer in.
Okay. Yeah.
Looking in, you do see a number of people in the kitchen. None of them look to be the guy who you briefly saw poke out of the alley.
Okay. I think he clocks Joel as he's coming around the corner and is just like, "You want to do this?"
That son of a bitch shot my car. Yep. Yes, I'm ready to do this. Okay.
And Cyril will pull out his gun and he will try opening the door.
Oh shit, we're like this. Okay. He'll fumble pulling out the little 22 revolver that you gave him.
All right. You open the door. It opens without any resistance. It's just one of those sort of little corral push doors into a not bustling, but kitchen that's obviously in the middle of prep. And immediately everyone turns and looks at you as you step into the door with your gun drawn.
Yep. And I point it
probably at six or eight people there.
Yep. I point it at the first cook I can see and I say, "Where'd he go?"
He drops a big bowl of soup and puts his Kevin hand into the air. Yes. And he says, what the hell do you want?
Where did he go? Where did the person go? Where did the person that just walked through here, where did he go?
Who shot my car? He's just pointing at everyone who moves.
It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just got this soup.
Bullshit. I'm gonna anyone have to in here? This. Anyone in here know where the person who just shot at us went? Because I'd sure like to talk to that person.
One of the people points to some doors further in.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And he just kind of saunters through the kitchen.
Okay. Hey, is Marcy following Noah?
I think after Joel eventually ran up, she would have like been fumbling for her Kimber and then followed suit shortly after.
Okay.
Okay. So then he walks up to the...
Making sure to lock the car, right. Obviously.
He's going
to,
just so you know, he's walking with a gun, but he is not like pointing it at everybody he sees. Just so you know, he is kind of casually has his gun out and he's like kind of in a stance of, I'm here to do business if you're going to fuck with me, but I just want to talk to you, really.
Okay. All right.
Are you telling Joel this?
Yes. I'm like, listen, Joel, we're not here to kill people. I don't want to kill people. At least, you know, not in this environment. But we need to talk to that person because, one, he shot your car. And two,
yeah.
They're just trying to scare us off of something. So they know something here. We just need to figure out what it is. And I'm tired of playing these fucking games with people. And he just kind of walks up to the next door. And if there's a window, he'll look through it. But
There's no windows on these. It's a double door that sort of pushes into an area.
Okay. He will like push in. He'll push in and just kind of walk through the door very trepidatiously, but also very confidently, if that's possible.
As you do that, let's see. Okay, a shot rings out, striking you.
Okay.
For 1 point of damage, yep. Just grazing you barely, and you see a man who is standing in a door frame about maybe 15 feet away. He's bald. Let me grab his description real quick. This one is... Where did he go? He's bald. He's got a goatee. He's well-built, but sort of lean and lithe. He's wearing khaki pants and a tight black V-neck tucked into his shirt. And okay. He's like, you guys need to get out of here now.
You need to answer some questions.
You can go ahead and take your turn, whatever you want to do in your turn.
I will level my gun at him.
Okay.
And I'll be like, listen, we need some questions answered, and apparently we're on the right track. And I don't give a shit about your shady dealings in this club. We just need to figure out why Antoine was here and where he went afterwards. That's it. I could give a rat's ass about what you do up in here. That's all okay. I want to do. I don't want to have a shootout. You already winged me. But I'm just going to tell you this. I've killed before, and it ain't no big deal for me. I've done it many,
yeah,
many times.
Yeah, you owe me a heated windshield.
And you hit my friend Joel's car. What the fuck?
And you nearly hit me, you fucking bastard.
He says, hey, look, I'm not in the mood for negotiations. You clearly have no idea what is going on. I'm going to count to five. You guys got to leave.
Marcy's going to shoot him in the knee.
Okay, Marcy, go ahead and take your shot.
Fuck. 58 over 35. Just okay, fully misses.
Fires at Cyril again.
Jesus Christ.
That's he Cyril. Misses. That's yep. Cyril.
That's it. I mean, I have to, Cyril have to fire back.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I was trying to like persuade him to put the gun down, but I guess that's not happening.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Yes. Success. 31 under 50.
Go ahead and roll your damage.
Let's see. What do I have here? A D10.
Okay. This could get real interesting.
Six.
Hang on. I got to look up massive shoot him damage in the, rules
like,
real
I'm
going
to try to shoot him not lethally if possible.
Actually, you know what? I think non-lethal, we figured out, had to have a specific type of ammo, right?
Yeah, that's what it was, because there's specific ammo, like salt shot and stuff like that.
That's fine. Can I just take the... correct. I just don't want to headshot this dude. You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
like, you're not going to kill him.
Yeah, I don't want to kill him. I just would like to, like, make him immobile, if possible.
Yeah, you do that, but it's like, if you don't do something relatively soon, he will bleed out and die.
Okay. I will walk over to him. I'm going to say that he hit me in the shoulder. So I'm like bleeding out of my shoulder, like he winged me on the shoulder. And I'll keep my gun on him. And I'll just be like, you dumb shit. All I wanted to do was talk to you about some motherfucker that you don't care about. Stupid motherfucker. And he'll like lean down and he'll try to like, is the guy awake or is he passed out?
He is basically senseless.
Okay.
At this point,
while he's doing that, Joel will, in a half panic, be like, "Oh!" and like turn back to the door that they came in through, just to make sure no one tries to come in from behind them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the kitchen people have ducked and run away at this point. It is emptied out.
Okay.
Cyril, you gotta hurry up.
Yeah. Fuck. I don't have a whole lot of things I could actually do for this dude.
You could try and make a medicine roll or first aid.
Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Okay. It's only if you crit fail that you hurt him more.
Is there anyone, like, was he heading anywhere?
He was heading into an office.
Okay. I guess I'll just.
On the outside says Marcus Johnson Security.
Got it. So I guess I'll, I guess I'll go into that office. Because there's not much I can do for this guy. I mean, I just shot him. I mean, I could try to, like, tourniquet the wound, but, I mean, I failed my first aid roll, so...
Yeah, so, Marcy or Joel, you want to try and first aid this guy? Or are you just going to...
Yeah, I've got a solid 10% first aid.
Hey, we all got it, baby.
All right, well,
roll them bones.
I would suggest you roll them. Worst thing that you do, you're going to hurt him more. Right? With a crit fail. Okay.
Yeah, I got a failure, 57 over 10.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I got a failure as well, 26 over 10. Yeah, I think he just, Joel looks back at him and is like, nah, I'm not helping him.
We're putting him into the recovery position.
So he doesn't choke on his own tongue, yeah. The recovery position, good callback. So I will go into the security office, and I'm assuming, is there anything in there that's like a recording device?
Yeah, you see feeds for four cameras out front in the main ballroom area. Although you notice that as you look at that feed, there is you cannot see the side tables, the side booths. They are basically invisible to the camera. There's another in the alley, and there is one in the kitchen.
Okay. He will see where all those feeds are connected. Are they like connected to like a block of like a RAM?
Yeah, a block of VHS ones, actually.
Yeah, so he will grab all of those, that stuff, and then grab as many tapes as he can find, I guess. If there's like stuff like, and then he'll just be like, "This."
Hey, make a quick search roll.
Yeah, this is what we're gonna have to go on. Do I want to spend 9 luck?
I don't know.
I do.
Marcy or Joel could also make search rolls. I'm gonna.
Yeah, we'll push our way in and just also try to help look around.
Yeah. I assume you called out. It's like, hey, there's a lot of shit in here. You want to help me find the right thing?
Yeah, against the wall, there's like a whole rack of VHSs.
51 over 25.
In like a
49
8 foot.
Under 59.
All right, and Joel, as you're looking, I think it strikes you. You're like, well, if Antoine is here, he was here, like, right before the hurricane, so let's grab this whole week of tapes. And you grab that and put it in, I assume you have a bag of some sort. relatively bulky VHSs, but you grabbed all the tapes from today, and they are no longer recording anything. And you guys in the distance all begin to hear sirens. And that's where we're going to end.
Jesus.
Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is a Delta Green actual play. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. It's my favorite role-playing system. So thank you to those guys, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please make sure that you go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. I know Google Podcasts is wrapping up here soon, so RIP. We are going to start putting these out to YouTube as well, so make sure you go check our check the link in the show notes and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube for when that happens. Every little bit helps, guys. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. Make sure you email us once you've done your review, and if you give us an NPC name, we'll happily incorporate them. We are going to have more characters join us in Care 4. So thank you for listening, and thank you to Pawns or Kings for Cositus. It's our theme song, and let's listen to the rest of it now.
I'm dead.
For the pod, the text is, "Babe, the big ones hurt Eddie's diner."
I'm not. This is getting all cut out.
Come on.
Oh, man. That's a
good one. I was cackling the entire time. I didn't believe myself as I was typing it out.
Okay, well. All right.
Good. I'm good. All right.
Welcome to the Sex Offender Registry.
Wow.
You legally have to tell your neighbors.
So you have to tell your neighbors.
Oh, God.
Now. Fucking bitch.
I can't believe you would say that about Kristen Chenoweth. She's such a lovely person.
She's such a nice person. I didn't realize it was actually her.
Yep.
Nope. Oh, man.
Wild.
Son of a.
In this universe, Kristen Chenoweth wasn't born for. You know, she's just younger.
She's just way younger.
So
it'd be hard to get that out of
her. Oh, man.